Hey girl, hey, and thanks for dropping in to the Switch, Pivot, or Quit podcast. Candid convo for the girl needing a lifestyle plot twist when she's deciding if it's time to switch, pivot, or quit. I'm Ayana Angel, a former sports entertainment publicist in New York City, turned traditionally published author with Simon & Schuster, who quit my old life to write a book, live in London for a bit, and explore my dreams to find my happiness and fulfillment. I'm here to help encourage and guide you through your plot twist years as your chief encourager and host of the Switch, Pivot, or Quit podcast. In today's show, we're going to touch on a topic that caused some good, juicy commentary. The post that I posted said something along the lines of this: being popular on social media is like being rich in Monopoly money. So I asked our followers if they agreed. Now, this comment originated from someone in my close inner circle, and I just had to share because I wanted to find out what other people's thoughts were. So before we get into the topic and chat with our guest today, let me share where the comment originated. Everyone should have their career crew, their squad with goals, or whatever else you want to call the like-minded ladies that you regularly bounce ideas off of and brainstorm brilliance with. Well, these two ladies that you're about to meet today are in my crew. So monthly, we host mastermind calls for ourselves where we get together, we brainstorm content ideas, we brainstorm ideas to help us further us in our ventures in life, and we trust each other. So naturally, we talk about a lot of different things, social media being one of them, just like everybody else tends to, because that is one of the hottest topics now when you're talking about working in the indie space, when you're talking about being a freelancer, when you're talking about being an entrepreneur, or when you're just talking about building your personal brand. So, like I said, the ladies you're about to meet, I consider them very knowledgeable women. And actually, for the purposes of this conversation, I think it's important to note that both women on Instagram have more than 10,000 followers. Everybody that you're about to hear from today, all three of us, 10,000 plus followers. So it's not like we're the whining widows in the corner thinking, oh, woe is me. Why is no one paying attention to my Instagram feed? Not at all. We well understand what's going on in the landscape. All right. So on the line with us today, we have Miss Chris, who is the affordable luxury queen and YouTubing big hair beauty with more than 2.5 million views. And then we have Danielle, who is a fashion and beauty consultant, as well as a freelance writer and creator of the Style and Beauty Doctor blog. Okay. So welcome to the show, ladies.
Hello.
Hey.
Thanks for joining us today, ladies.
Well, thank you for having us.
So, Miss Chris, we are going to start with you. I want you to tell us, what was your thought process when you made the comment that said being popular on social media is like being rich in Monopoly money?
Well, I saw your comment, and I would like to thank you for having me on because I feel like I need to explain myself. let me also backtrack and say that I see now I'm going to have you sign an NDA before we have our call, since you want to be you. Using my text and my conversations as content on your blog.
It's good commentary. It sparks conversation. We need these conversations.
Absolutely.
Everyone needs to be a part of it.
Absolutely. But you know what? You're right. I said it. Having lots of Instagram followers, it can be fake, like Monopoly money. It can also be like walking around with a fake Louis Vuitton purse, okay? But let me sort of back up, I think, and give the lead in, the context to which I said that. I believe the conversation we were talking about had something to do about just the facade and the smoke and mirrors of Instagram, right? So you follow these influencers or people with these huge accounts, like huge numbers, and you're seeing their fantastic and fabulous photos, and that's their highlight reel, and they're putting it out there, and you're following and buying into it, and they have a lot of followers, they have a lot of likes, they have a lot of engagement, but because I know people, and I'm following and knowing things, I know then sometimes the back end means, you know, maybe some bills aren't getting paid, or the, you know, just things aren't always as they seem financially. And so I was talking about folks not being able to translate followers, likes, engagement into coins. That means, in my opinion, that your followers and all of that sort of clout, it's fake because you're not able to really capitalize off of it, which for many of us as a business, like, that's what we're here to do. So if you can't turn your followers and your engagements and your like and all that kind of stuff in Instagram into a viable business, like, what good is it? It's like walking around the mall with a fake Louis Vuitton purse. It looks good, but it has no real value.
Okay.
That's so what I meant. Yeah. I was going to clarify. Some people had misconstrued what I was saying.
She came with a Louis Vuitton. She said, don't carry a Louis Vuitton.
Don't try to play me with that. Don't try to play me.
Exactly.
So Danielle, when that comment was made, did you understand where it was coming from? What were your thoughts on the topic of, you know, social media, you know, being like rich in Monopoly money? What are your thoughts on that?
No, I totally agree, as I do with many things that Miss Chris says.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because not too long ago, I want to say maybe less than 2 years ago, I read an article on, it was online. It was from one, I forget where it was from, but it wasn't like, you know, like here's the news.blogspot.com. It was an actual reputable site. And they did a story on people who have YouTube, large YouTube followings that could be anywhere from like, you know, over 200,000, 300,000, maybe even over 1 million followers. And these are people who, like, they can barely go outside because people are like, oh my God, it's you. I love you, yada, yada, yada. But these people aren't able to, these people still, and when I say still work a regular job, I'm not saying that as a place, in a place from, that, like, I'm talking down on anybody, because shoot, I worked a regular job for, you know, more than a decade. So there's absolutely nothing wrong with having a regular job. But what this article was talking about was the fact that these people had like all of this fame on YouTube, but then, you know, they would go clock in at their regular job and they could, you know, barely do their job, or like their managers or whoever were complaining because there would be so much disruption because their fans were showing up. And these same people would try to monetize, but the audience would get kind of like hostile with them, because anytime they would try to do an ad, they would get upset and like, oh, you know, you're not being real. You know, this is not the content I'm used to getting from you. And, you know, why are you selling out? And you know, those type of comments. And then one thing I really took away from that was like, wow, this person has a lot of people who love them, but they haven't really had a chance to cultivate their audience. So yeah, I read a lot of articles on influencer marketing, because, you know, I like to keep abreast of what's going on in the industry. And I think a lot of things that not only influencers, but brands as well get misconstrued a lot, is that they'll see somebody with 1 million followers and they think like, oh my God, that's a home run for our brand, because that's 1 million eyeballs, that's 1 million people that trust this influencer, love them, you know, want to hear what this person has to say. But I think what happens is, when that audience is not cultivated, who knows what these people are interested in? Like, these 1 million people can be showing up because the influencer is cute, or because, you know, the influencer has nice hair, or they like their outfits or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
The audience isn't being cultivated. So it's like, you know, mm-hmm. you can be throwing out some kind of messaging there. You can be putting some sort of ad or something that you're trying to monetize. But then it doesn't work, because then it's like, okay, so Susie has 1 million followers, but let's say like 650,000 of them are guys that are only there to look at Susie's booty.
Right.
If Susie does an ad for a lipstick company, that's more than half her audience that's not tuning in for that. So I really
think that
you know, people aren't really cultivating their audiences. And a lot of times, like, even, you know, I've heard other influencers say, well, I don't have 100,000 followers and I don't have this. And you really don't need it. What you really need to do is cultivate your brand. I'm sorry, cultivate your audience. Because if you target a certain niche audience, that right there, you could have 5,000 followers, but if you're really engaging with your audience, the audience engages with you. If you are talking about, like, I don't know, green jackets all the time, or green fashion, and all you talk about is green fashion, even if you have like 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 followers, those people are really engaged with you. Mm-hmm. You can probably monetize more than Susie, who has a million followers, more than half of which are guys that like look at Susie's booty.
Well, I think the engagement key in everything you said, I think the engagement is really the key word. And I wish I could like just shake brands and really get them to understand that. But like I did a collaboration one time with a YouTube star and she has like a huge following. I mean, like mine was like peanuts compared to the following she had. But you know how brands be tracking everything with their little Bitly links and whatnot. And when we went back and looked at everything, like I actually drove more traffic, my smaller audience, because we is homies like that over there on youtube.com/MissChris. We actually drove more eyeballs to their website than the other girl that I collaborated with. So it just really has to go with engagement. And I think that's key. And I wish brands would understand that. But that's what I was trying to, when we were having our private conversation that has now turned into such a public conversation, but I'm cool with that. That's what I was trying to say, that if you can't translate it, like what good is a million followers from a business perspective? Like it's great if you're posting photos of like your family and your baby and you have a million people that like and whatever and follow, that's cool. But I'm talking about from like a business perspective. What good is a high number of followers that don't really work within the scheme of your business, you know, that don't participate within your business or your brand? Like it's not worth it to me. I'd rather have 10 dope homies that, you know, like what I do and I can provide them with good content and we can just live happily ever after.
Right. So it's about being targeted and it's about also having influence. I know, Danielle, you mentioned that word influence, and I think that people use that term loosely, and that's how a comment such as Kristen's can be made, because everybody wants to call themselves an influencer, especially once they reach a certain status, let's say, and I'm using my air quotes with that word status, once they reach a certain status on any social media platform, then they are perceived as, or they might perceive themselves as an influencer, but the true meaning behind and the true strength behind being a real influencer is that you can say, I just bought this or I just use this product. I love it. And it's flying off the shelves.
Right.
The best example is Oprah. You know, Oprah is an influencer at her core. So if Oprah commands a certain amount of money to do a deal with a brand, they're going to pay her what she's commanding and what she's asking, because they know beyond a shadow of a doubt, she's proven herself that she has influence.
Right.
So you may have someone that is on Instagram, let's say Instagram, because that's where a lot of us play. You may have someone on Instagram that has 100,000 followers, but if they are not in the business of talking to their audience a certain way, or if they don't have anything to sell, if they don't have anything to move units with, if they're not collaborating with anybody or doing anything, all they're doing is being cute and taking pictures, then it is monopoly money, because it won't translate. You will, at the point where, especially if, let's say this, you've been having a presence on an Instagram account for a year plus, 2 years plus, you have a huge following, but you've never tried to sell them anything. You've never talked to them about buying something, doing something, and had any type of call to action. The moment you start trying that, it might feel inorganic. You have to still manage to be authentic with it. It might feel pushy. It might feel gross, actually. So then at that point, it is monopoly money, because now you can't sell anything. You can't move any units. You have no influence. You have numbers, but you don't have influence.
First of all, can I just say, like, I hate when people call themselves influencers. It annoys me. Like, I just feel like I shouldn't call myself an influencer, even though I know that's the term and that's what we do. But I just feel naturally someone else should call me an influencer. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's sort of like expert. Like,
yeah,
someone else should be tooting your horn, calling you an expert, introducing you as an expert, introducing you as an influencer. And,
yeah.
And you just do what you do.
Yeah, I'm a content creator.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
So let's hop into some of these social media comments. We have comments both from Instagram and Facebook. And the first comment comes from Instagram. And I'm not going to blast people and say who said what.
Oh, you blast me, but you won't.
I don't know them like that. Okay.
Okay.
But the first comment says, disagree. There are so many opportunities that can be monetized by having a large following and being an influencer. But she did put influencer in quotes.
See, I think she would change her answer to agree if she'd heard my lead into it, because absolutely, I agree. If you are a, I'm using my air quotes, influencer, and that's the way your bank account and your Instagram and everything is set up, then cool.
Yeah, now, I would agree as well. As long as your audience is cultivated, then, you know, obviously, you know, having a million followers. If I had a million followers the way that I have the 22,000 that I have now on Instagram, if I had a million of those same type of followers, of course, like, that'd be amazing. But unfortunately, right, what happens sometimes is, going back to some of these articles that I've read before, sometimes when people who have a lot of followers, sometimes people follow because you have a lot of followers, and they're like, oh, well, you know, what's going on? Why are people following this person? So you get a lot of that, and a lot of people who may not be totally into the topic that it is that you talk about. But if you have a specific niche, like, say, like makeup or fashion or something like that, 9 times out of 10, your audience is into that.
Right.
But if you're someone who, say, you know, I like to follow a lot of the online comedians that make, like, the really funny videos and things like that. Those people I love to watch because I love their content. But sometimes they may put out ads that don't necessarily relate to me because, you know, everybody can relate to laughing or, you know, jokes and things like that. But not everyone's going to relate to, let's say, you know, a men's shaving balm or a women's tampon or a new sports car. So you really have to have your audience cultivated.
But that's a really interesting point that you bring up, like, the flip side of that, the audience, because I'll never forget, like, you know, I was in New York one time and I was sitting on the subway and I was sitting next to this girl who I'd never really watched someone scrolled through their Instagram before and, like, studied it. And this girl seemed to have a lot of photos. She was getting caught up on whatever, but she was just scrolling.
Mm-hmm.
Never stopped, never liked, never really even paused. She was just, like, scrolling. And I was like, is she even, like, really looking at the photo or taking in? So I'm assuming she probably follows a lot of people and her engagement's probably low. Like, her interaction with these accounts was probably low. She was just following just the look, you know? That's the whole other, like, flip side of the coin, you know, because it's not always, like, I'm not just here to say, like, it's, like, the influencer's fault or whatever, but that's the flip side of the coin. Sometimes you do get these audiences for whatever reason that are just there to look, and that's super unfortunate.
Right.
And it's funny that you should say that about the way people scroll, because I noticed that I have a niece and nephew who are in their early 20s, and I watched them go through Instagram, and I'm like, hold up, you just scrolled past one of my pictures. You ain't double tapped. Like, oh, yeah, I gotta go back. Some people really do look at Instagram differently. Like, the girl that you mentioned, my niece and nephew, they're, like, breezing through their timeline and their feed. Whereas me, I follow people I really want to follow. I can't follow a lot of people because, you know, there's just certain things that I need to see in my feed and certain things I do not need to see in my feed. So when I actually go through my feed, it's people that I might know in person in real life.
Yeah.
But they're people whose content I really love. So I'm like reading the caption, double tapping, leaving comments. Like, I'm all in.
I have had a mentee and altercation with a friend, okay, who realized that I wasn't following them on Instagram. But specifically for Instagram, I try and keep it work related. So if you post in the same photo that I already see on your Facebook page where I already follow you, friend, like, I'm not going to follow you on Instagram.
Right.
I'm sorry. So I don't have a lot of people for that specific reason. Like, I like to look at my feed and be inspired. And like you, I, like, sweat through every photo and I click on a link and I'm all up in the captions and it takes me to the next page that maybe I find inspiring and I start following. So if it's just the baby photo, like, I saw that on Facebook, like, we good, you know?
But that's the difference also between people that are using Instagram and social media for business and people that are using it for pleasure.
Sure.
There's a huge divide in that space. And I think that's the other thing that sometimes people don't account for. Just because someone is on social media does not mean that they're looking to buy from you or to entertain whatever it is that you may be selling, whether it be you're selling yourself, you're selling a third party's product, whatever it is. Instagram in its origin was not started as a marketing tool. It became a marketing tool because marketers saw the value and they saw where they could tap into people that had this perceived influence because they gained all of this, these eyeballs in some of them a very short amount of time. But in its origin, it was a photo sharing site. So now a lot of people use it to monetize, but there's also sort of like an art to that as well. The people that probably do it best are the people that had a marketing background in some capacity because there's tools and tricks of the trade that they know that the average person won't know, won't be aware of, won't be looking for. They know how to also cultivate that audience as well. And the average person that may be cute or that may be popping or their Instagram may be lit, you know, it is for general purposes for people that are just looking and seeing what they're doing. But for purposes of business, no, it's not. If you go to their bio section, they probably don't even have a website. They're not, that's just not their angle. So in those cases, it's definitely monopoly money because there is nothing of substance behind it.
P.S. I would just like to say, I think I'm probably the worst Instagrammer ever. Like, while we're talking about this. Like,
you know,
I'm the worst. Like, with regard to, I mean, because I said I really use it for a business and, like, I could do better, but I just don't. I don't know. That's just a little side note.
Well, you know,
I feel like this is therapy up in here. So I'm just.
Yeah, the Life According to Her audience is now going to charge you with doing better, okay?
Oh, you're going to charge me?
Yes. The ladies of Life According to Her want to see you do better, okay? We want to see everyone do better. So you know what?
This accountability, I didn't sign up for this.
Yes. This is on the spot accountability. Everyone listening, go and check out Miss Christagram and go and check out Style and Beauty Doc. Okay, and that's an N, Style and Beauty Doc. And let's hold everyone accountable. We want to make sure, even though Ms. Danielle, she does a very fabulous job and she is deliberate with her Instagram and she did not say that she is slacking on her pimping, but Miss Chris, we're going to watch out for you now.
I don't want to hear it if I haven't posted a video, like, I mean, a photo in 2 weeks. My phone.
Sometimes you need to, you know, back out of Instagram for a little bit. Sometimes you need a little mini break. But true. One thing I will say about Instagram that I do admire, and it could also be the fact that I engage a lot with the content that comes through my feed. I don't know how this might work for the people who, you know, like my niece and nephew and the girl that was sitting next to Kristen on the train, the scrollers, how that might work out for them. But since I engage with my content so much on Instagram, since they started putting ads, some of them I've been like, okay, why is this in my feed? But a lot of those ads that come up in my Instagram feed are things that I've either, you know how now you could save or like kind of pin. You know, like how you pin something on Pinterest, you can kind of save it now on Instagram. There have been a lot of ads where I've saw something and I was like, oh my God, I need to save that for inspiration for later, or something I've actually bought because of the ads that are on Instagram. So I'd have to say that the way they're able to tap into the way that the type of accounts that you engage with and the type of content that you look at and try to pair it with, you know, a product, I think that's amazing too. Because like I said, the ads that come through, because I do engage a lot with the content that comes through my feed, I do have to say that the ads that are served to me are like, I'm not even mad at them. I'm like, okay.
Well, you know why?
It has something to do with my likes and interests.
It's because Instagram is owned by Facebook, and Facebook actually hired has these marketing companies that they work with to basically target, to help the Facebook ads community better target their ads. So there's a whole.
But you want to know something though? The funny thing is, and I don't use my personal Facebook as much as I do. I'm usually on my Style and Beauty Doctor Facebook page more than I am on my Danielle Gray Facebook page. But anytime I've actually gone through Facebook, my Facebook ads are just like a mishmash of like, look, maybe this will work, maybe it won't. I feel like whatever company that Facebook has used for their Instagram ads is doing a much better job than the ads I see on my Facebook page. And again, it could come back down to the fact that I don't interact much on my personal Facebook page, why my ads just seem to be like all over the place.
Right. So they're probably able to gather more information from you in terms of you as a user from Instagram versus Facebook. So I want to read a comment from, I'm going to say her name, My Candy Shop, because she is out there. Yeah, she's a blogger. She's in the space. So I don't think that she would mind us reading her comment because, hey, she's public. So My Candy Shop said, being popular with a large following does not always equate to being engaged with your audience, which is what a lot of companies are looking for. 100,000 followers, but only 300 likes and 2 comments. Hella popular with 0 influence. So she definitely
bought their following.
Or some alternative facts.
Right.
That's another thing.
That's another reality when we're talking about the monopoly money. A lot of people aren't owning the fact that even some people that have huge followings now, they're not owning the fact that at some point they bought a portion of their following and then it was able to grow, because just like you said, Danielle, sometimes people just follow because they see a lot of other people following. So they think,
a lot of the people following.
Exactly. So their audience is not true through and through. Mm-hmm. A portion of it is purchase and a portion of it is organic, let's say.
But then that goes back to our point on cultivating your audience and like having them prepared to do the type of business you want to do. If you bought a bunch of followers who then only got you more followers because they're following you because people are looking, nobody's really participating in the finance of the business. So what good was that? Like I said, I will take 10 strong homies that we can develop an amazing relationship and have a good Instagram vibe going on than a whole bunch of fugazi.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you know what, to that point, and this is something that, because I feel that there's a shift in blogging that happened. Well, there are many shifts in blogging. So I've had my blog for 10 years. This year makes 10 years. And there have been a lot of, thank you. There have been a lot of shifts. And, you know, blogging, I started when blogging was something where people were so excited about the fact that there was people who looked like you and who talked like you and who shopped at the same places as you were online talking about the things that you like. So there wasn't, you know, this need for like these highly styled photos and things like that. Then, you know, the next wave was, you know, the highly styled photos. And it was kind of mirroring more of what the magazine industry was doing. And, you know, I think it progressively ticked up where it was like perfection was the trend and the name of the game. Mm-hmm. And social media, where it was kind of like I wound up following, unfollowing a lot of bloggers who I didn't really relate to them, but I loved their imagery. And, you know, as somebody who, you know, the fashion lover and somebody who just was a visual person, like, you ain't got to look nothing like me or have anything that I can even afford. If I like the way the image looks, like, you know, I might be interested in following you just for the visual. But, yeah, and I think that people started to get really tired of that. And then I think, and I would see a lot of posts from a lot of my fellow bloggers where they were kind of just like over the, you know, the perfection and the, and, you know, then Snapchat came out and Instagram stories and people realized that, you know, you could, you know, show all kind of facets of your brand from the, you know, the very polished Instagram to the off duty of Snapchat. And for me, I kind of felt like I wanted a happy medium. Like I've always wanted my personality and for me to shine through in my post, because, you know, it's everybody's a beauty blogger out there. And what's going to differentiate me from anyone else who is a beauty blogger is that I'm me, and that's my power. You know what I mean? So I think that within the last couple of months, as I was trying to plan out, you know, how I want to go with my content for 2017 and where I want to go with my branding, I kind of went towards a back to basics approach, like, okay, why did I start blogging? And, you know, this is why I wanted to do it. This is what I enjoy doing. And I want to be able to teach people beauty. And, you know, these are the things that I want to do. But then I also, and this also comes from getting older, because once you hit 30, you hit a high level of, I don't give a about what people think about me. So there's a lot of that in. And so, you know, just to back to Kristen's point, she'd rather have 10 homies. I'm so 10 solid homies. I'm so the same way. Like, I want to create content that I love, that I know the people who really show out, like people who come to Style and Beauty Doctor events, people who leave comments, people who double tap, things that those people love. And that's who I want to really, like, that's who I'm catering to, as opposed to trying everything to try to please right. everyone when that's yeah. just impossible.
That's tough. And it actually, for me, I guess I kind of came to the same realization, but for me, it was actually a follower that said something, just because I was at a point last year where I just needed to take a little bit of time. So I let my audience know, like, hey guys, I'm like going away for a minute. Not like going away. I was still in my house, but like I needed to take care of some just organizing and personal things in my life. And one girl left this comment and she was like, well, you know, we're here for quality, not necessarily quantity. So we'll be here when you get mm-hmm. back. And I took like that. That was like, I wanted to cry and then like side eye a little bit, because I was like, wait, am I just when I do quality or quantity, are you guys not into it? Like, but it made me sort of like, I was thankful, but then I questioned the whole, like, how I was producing this content, you know? And like you said, mm-hmm. I just want to be me and real and authentic. And when I have something dope to say or something fab to share, like I do. And when I don't, like, my audience knows I'm probably sitting on my couch in like a caftan, and like, that's just how we operate, you know?
With a cocktail, honey.
In all your fabulous glory, right?
To be fair, I'm sitting right now in my pajamas with a glass of wine. Okay. So they know what's up. Like, it is what it is.
That's true. I think the authenticity in bringing that back will serve people a lot better than trying to be like everyone else that you see out there doing everything else that everyone else mm-hmm. is doing. Because
yeah.
I think people's attention spans are becoming short-lived for the perfection, for the fakery, for the just a lot of it, okay?
Mm-hmm. We got a lot going on right now in America. We need truth, no alternative anything. So, yeah.
Right, exactly.
I think that's just where probably we have just switched our opinions to. Yes, real. Give
yeah.
me real.
Yeah, because it's like, look, you know, you want, like Danielle said, when people first started, a lot of this was you wanted to connect with people that were similar to you. It wasn't about how many people in this world can I go out and connect with? It was about how can I share my interests and my likes and connect with people that have common interests and likes. But now the name of the game is, how can I get you to see me? How can I get you to buy from me? How can I get you to follow me off of a cliff? How can I get you to like every picture that I post and, you know, eat up my every word? But I think that a part of going back to that and getting that that true core to why you started and just who you are, I think that's going to have the longevity for people, because I think that a lot of people are going to start getting away from a lot of the surface things and start looking mm-hmm. for depth. And when you start looking for depth, it's going to be hard to find it in some of the places that you might slide and dip through right now.
True.
Touching back on the facade of things and the lack of depth in how people, you know, are creating these images online that you can't necessarily connect with all the time. One of our Facebook comments actually said, in response to Kristen's comment, she said, yes and no. That's her feeling. Whether she agrees or not, yes and no. So she's in the middle. She says, yes, in that sometimes the online version is such a fabricated version of the person that they end up being different people. I have literally met some friends, she uses her quotes, some friends in person and thought they ought to have been flogged or awarded for their staging, photoshopping, / filtering game.
She ain't come to play.
No, she says, I would not have recognized them if I was being paid to do so.
Whoa. Hey. Wow.
And then she said, no, she doesn't agree in the fact that followers equal revenue in many instances. So that's pretty real money. So she's saying that she can see both sides of the coin because she can see where people are so fake and not genuine enough that if I can't even recognize you in real life, I know that you can't potentially be doing anything in real life of substance that's equating to
that. Did she name names? Let me stop.
I think that's unfortunate.
Have you ladies ever come across or met up with anyone in real life that you had been online friends with or social media friends with and they didn't match up to their profile?
No, I've never been catfished that I can really think of off the top of my head. like that. I mean, but I will say that, I've met people that you perceive life to be a certain way just based off of what they post on the gram. And then, you meet them and you become, you develop more of a closer real-life relationship. And then you start sort of peeling back on the layers of the onion and you realize, oh, okay, your life is actually nothing like that. But they still look like the person they did in real life.
I've never met anyone that looks – well, I've seen people that might look a little different. But see, I'm in the makeup world, so sometimes, what makeup looks like online can look, totally different in person. Nothing where I was, gagging. One small theme, because I have to say that most of the people that I feel like, I think that sometimes I can, I don't know, it's not like a psychic thing, and it's not like I can read somebody's personality off of what they post online. But sometimes with certain people you can. Monica Style Muse, she seems so cool online. So, anytime she pulls up in my feed, I'm, smiling because she's just such a dear and it's such a joy to look at. And then I meet her in person, it's the exact same thing. But with her, it was I don't know, I was kind of expecting her to be great in person.
Right.
Because, I kind of felt her online. And then I used to, in my former life, I was a financial salesperson, and I had to do all kinds of things where it's kind of you want to marry your personality to the client. So I've come across many situations where I've had to adjust my personality to match that with the person that I'm speaking to because I'm trying to sell them something. Uh-huh. Whereas I can, and that kind of taught me to deal with different people. So there've been people who I've seen on YouTube and they're easily talking to the camera and they're full of life. And then in person, they're shy, they're more introverted. And I didn't understand that until I started to try to talk to my camera myself.
Yeah.
And I couldn't do it because I was I can't talk to, I can talk to a camera. I've done TV stuff, but it's hard for me to be able to connect with just the camera because I look for nonverbal clues. I look for changes in a person's tone. I look for body language, things like that when I'm speaking to someone. So it helps me to if when I first met Kristen, I think that we were both right off the bat because we both have really hyped personalities. But you see how I'm getting hyped now talking about Kristen. But see, if somebody else was a little more, reserved and introverted. I'm, how my voice is going down right now and I might,
So
it's like
play off of them.
Sometimes, you play off of them. So I can kind of see how people can be different online because I kind of see and not that I'm saying that there's anything wrong with it. I just feel like sometimes people who may not be able to express themselves in person or in real life, as they say, I can see how they can take whatever persona. It's like their own Sasha Fierce, and they take that Sasha Fierce and put it on the internet.
Yeah, I think personally as a content creator, I think the best compliment that someone can give me when they meet me in real life is, oh my gosh, you're exactly the same person as I watch on YouTube. You're exactly how I thought you would be. And that doesn't mean that I'm always that same person I'm always on. I'm always exactly how I am. We're all humans. We all definitely have our different emotions. If you talk to some of my best friends that have known me for years, they'd be she ain't always like that. Sometimes she's moody and just wants to drink in a corner and not talk to anybody. We all, okay, thank you. But we all go through our phases. But I think if you're able to connect with your core and just who you are as a person, and that's able to translate on camera and someone meets you in real life and feels that energy, and makes that comment, that to me is like a million Instagram followers. Okay, that's what that feels like. Yeah. To me. You know,
I love it.
And to me, one of the best things, and like you said, that is the best compliment to get, that you're the same as you are online as you are in person. Because I think I like to be able to meet my, I hate to call people followers, but that's what they're called. But I love to be able to meet
your
my friends, the people that had that read my that have read my blog for years, watch me on YouTube, and you know, follow me on Instagram and things like that. I like to meet those people, and it goes back to, because it helps me with creating content, because it's like you put a face to, you know, some of the comments that are left. And sometimes, you know, people don't leave comments and things like that. So it's kind of hard to gauge. But then you when you meet somebody in person and, you know, you see what their personality is like and you see what draws them to you, to me, that's like the best thing ever. Like I would, if I could, I would just have like an event every weekend with like 5 to 10 people that read my blog or watch me on YouTube and just kind of like just chit chat and things like that. Because again, it goes back to why you started your blog. It goes back to knowing your audience. It goes back to, you know, being able to get that insight as to, you know, what you're doing with content and the things that you post.
It's really good to hear different people's opinions, especially when it comes to social media, because like I said, none of us knew that we'd be living in this world right now where social media plays such a big role in our day-to-day lives, whether it be that you're a content creator or whether it be that you're a consumer, you're someone who's regularly paying attention to what's out there. And because we know how quick this world can change when it comes to social media and what's hot and what's not, I think it's important to understand that when someone says social media popularity can be like having Monopoly money, the real underlying factor is not to try and cut anyone down. It's more so to say, pay attention. If you're a person that's out there that's trying to make money off of your social media, if you're someone who's trying to monetize from your audience, you need to make sure that you're making the right steps and you're making the right moves so that it's working for you. And it's not just the facade. It's not just that you're in a situation where you're pretending to be someone and pretending to have things that you don't really have.
I just wanted to say that your audience is so smart. Like, I like these comments and, you know, everybody's different perception of what I said.
Totally.
Yeah.
Thank you, ladies, for joining us. You can keep up with Miss Chris on Instagram at Miss Christagram and Danielle on Instagram at Style and Beauty Doc.
Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes if you have enjoyed listening to this podcast so far. And check out switchpivotorquit.com for even more personal and professional development resources.
Thanks for hanging with me. And as always, keep killing it.